And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I think that what we're seeing in the last few weeks is a breaking down of the old order, the old political order for sure. I think what we're observing is the Republican Party coming to an end and a new party being formed right before our eyes. Whether it has the name that Trump wants to give the name to it, the Patriot Party, whether it keeps the name of the Republican Party, but some other group then gets formed to stand side by side with it, I don't know. Or maybe the old party just dies, the new form stays, the old name stays, but the new form takes it over, and it becomes a fascist, racist party. But whatever it is, what we're seeing, I think, is the breaking down of the old party. And in a certain sense, what we're seeing is breaking down of a lot of social norms associated with the classical capitalist society. For example, this whole business with GameStop and the stock market madness of the last week, I think, is part of this. Another example of the same thing, of the old forms of American society being replaced, breaking down somehow or other.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, yeah, and this has been a trend that has been happening for a while, and then it's accelerating at a much more rapid pace now. You know, it's future shock, so to speak. And these are things that we've talked about in the past. For instance, we talked about Democracy in Chains, where the Koch brothers were trying to break down the rules of majority rule in order to get their agenda. And then we had Newt Gingrich, who wanted to break down the old order in Congress, the ways that people were able to compromise and do things. And he broke that down. And we've seen the polarization. And then, of course, you get Donald Trump comes along. And Donald Trump, with his cult of personality, spent his whole life trying to break down any restraints on his conduct. He wanted to be able to do anything and everything that he could do solely for his benefit, the rules be damned. And in many ways, he got away with it. Borrowing money that you have to pay back? Nope, not him. I'll declare bankruptcy and force the banks to give me more money. And if it wasn't American banks, I'd get somebody else. I'd get Deutsche Bank to do that. Rent to people I don't want to rent to, I don't like those rules. Pay taxes, I'll bend the rules, or I'll break the rules. And it's catch me if you can. It's whatever I can get away with. To a certain extent, Wall Street's been playing that game for a while as well. And then we got into this GameStop thing where they lost control of it. But I think we got to go back to the political. And still, we're seeing the acceleration of the breakdown of the Republican Party is what happened on January 6th in Washington, where you had the mob go after people of both parties because they could not accept the rule that the majority of Americans voted for Joe Biden. And psychologically, they couldn't accept it. They couldn't accept the fact that 81 million votes is more than 74 million. All they wanted to be able to say is, our 74 million count, and nothing else counts. We're not playing by your old rules. We're not playing by the game of what you have is more than what I have. We're going to impose our will no matter what. And when they went on Capitol Hill, they went after congresspeople. They went after Nancy Pelosi. We've heard things that have been said in chat rooms and on their social media feeds from that day and from days previous. Every day something else comes out about what they were saying. And they were bipartisan about it. They went after Mike Pence. They were ready to hang Mike Pence. We had gallows there, and Donald Trump wasn't going to do a darn thing about it. What the Republican Party hasn't learned is that Donald Trump doesn't give a damn about the Republicans. He only cares about himself. Marco Rubio is a great example. No matter how many times we've seen Donald Trump turn on his most loyal people, Jeff Sessions, he turned on Jeff Sessions. He's turned on Bill Barr. He turned on Rudy Giuliani, said don't pay him. He turned on Mike Pence, who was the most obsequious and the most sycophantic of enablers to Donald Trump. And you get a guy like Marco Rubio, who still won't stand up to him and thinks that Donald Trump isn't going to try to oust him from the Senate. If Ivanka wants to go for Senate in 2022, Marco Rubio isn't going to get Trump's endorsement. The fact that he's blind to this, the fact that these Republicans don't understand that they have to stand up for themselves and for their party, it's absolutely incredible. And that's why they're falling apart.
It shouldn't be incredible. The same thing happened with the conservatives and the Nazis in Germany. The conservatives never moved to stop the Nazis. They did everything they could to enable them because, as far as they were concerned, the Nazis were helping them out. And they knew that these crude people in the Nazi party, when push came to shove, they could easily overwhelm them. Because, after all, who were they? They were the bankers. They were the leaders of society. They were the traditional politicians. These crude brawlers, how could they stand against these people? And when push came to shove, they found out exactly how they could stand against those people.
They couldn't. The brown shirts.
Yeah.
So we're seeing that. We still don't know how this is going to play out in the end, whether, as you said, it's going to be called the Patriot Party, whether the Republicans will go the way of the Whigs or the know-nothings. The Republican Party grew in the 1850s and late 1850s and 1860 because it had a purpose, essentially, to get rid of slavery. These folks, the purpose is a little less obscure. It just seems to be we're against things. We don't want to do anything in terms of governing. We don't want the government to stop us from carrying guns. We don't want them to. We only want them to stop abortions.
They stand for something. They stand for a white supremacist Christian nationalist America. That's what they believe in. They believe in that. They have a positive outlook.
Well,
and some of them say it. Not all of them say it, but many of them say it. Trump says it.
And their new apostles are, well, they've had some of them. The Alex Joneses have been egging them on. Steve Bannon is certainly in that category.
Absolutely. And the real face of the new Republican Party is this woman from Dalton, Georgia, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman who, you know, wants to carry her gun into the halls of Congress. Well, of course, congressmen did that in the 19th century. Who believes that the forest fires in California were caused by the Rothschild family raining a laser down on the forests of California to clear? It's kind of a public clearing. It was a urban renewal, right? This was rural renewal, so they could create a railroad, right?
Yeah. Create a railroad.
Yeah.
She, of course, the child pedophile blood drinking ring of led by George Soros and Hillary Clinton.
Right.
You know, the old meme of the blood libel.
Right.
And make no mistake about it, they're anti-Semites as much as they're anti-black.
Oh, they make no bones about it.
Hmm. No. Except that they've backed someone who has what they ostensibly see as a pro-Israel stance, but they only worship strength or the perception of strength.
They don't give a damn about Israel. They care about the apocalypse.
Yes, Yes. And as I tell my Jewish friends, they want Jews to either die or convert to Christianity
exactly.
in order to fulfill their dream. They don't care one whit about Israel, but that just happens to be the thing. But in the meantime, they've only been held back by the institutions, primarily the courts, and some of the old-style Republicans in certain offices in Arizona and in Georgia in particular, who have said, no, we are not going to have this lawlessness and this cheating going on.
But the Trump people are purging those people exactly. in Arizona and in Oregon and in Georgia and in Pennsylvania. They're purging them.
Yeah. For years, I've been told by my friends in Harrisburg that whenever one of a Republican from a safe Republican district retires, that he or she has inevitably been replaced by someone more radical than he or she was.
I don't like the word radical in that connection. To me, a radical is a left winger. What these people are is extremist right wingers.
Yeah, reactionary.
Reactionaries, exactly.
More reactionary in that regard, and
that the 11th century isn't good enough. Yeah. You got to go back to the 9th century.
Yeah, and there's things happening sub rosa that we don't know. That primarily on social media, we found out a lot about this. We found out about Gab and Parler, those places, but. And who knows how much they're really being enabled by Russia in the background, the destabilization types of things. Parler's being hosted by a Russian hosting.
But they're really out of business, right? They really aren't able to function.
Well, you know, they still have followers. So we don't know where else these folks are actually getting their information from.
But you the know, point is, some, I guess the point I'm trying to make is that you don't need Russia to intervene in this. There's plenty of bad apples in America.
Well, what they've done is they've been able to set in motion this stuff and just sort of step aside and letting things run on their own inertia.
Yeah.
At this point. And they are running on their own inertia. It's more than disconcerting. And I don't know if the Democrats really understand the full nature of this. They certainly understand that they were under physical threat. We had the new congresswoman from who joined the squad from
Cori Bush,
who was actually placed in an office next to Marjorie Taylor Greene. And as you told me beforehand, and actually I saw it, where she's been threatened by, you know, Taylor Greene's staff.
Yeah,
she's had a move. Yeah. This should never be tolerated. The problem is that the Republican leadership has no backbone on this. They won't join with the Democrats to throw her the heck out of Congress.
Because the Republican leadership doesn't know which party they belong to. Because their party is in the process of splitting. Because when you have the Arizona party, the Republican party, meeting and denouncing their own governor, who's a Trump ally, denouncing Cindy McCain, John McCain's widow, denouncing Jeff Flake, the ex-senator, basically for being traitors, how do you expect, what's his name from California, the leader in the House of the Republican Party in the House, how does he look at that situation? What does he think about that? Who does he talk to and what does he say? And then the Republican Party in Oregon comes about and does even worse. They adopt a bunch of policies that are even more crazy. Yeah. And then you look at Pennsylvania. We're no better, the Republican Party here.
And we had all those office holders, those congressmen who, even after the attack on the Capitol, voted that essentially to say the election was a fraud.
And Scott Perry, the congressman from the central Pennsylvania, Republican congressman, turns out to have been one of the strategists and organizers of the coup.
Yes. Try to get the Justice Department to undo elections.
Yeah.
Which there's no mechanism for that. But even to try this stuff is incredible. I mean, it even got to be, you know, as I said before, too much for Bill Barr. but you know, he's now on the outs. And we have, you know.
Well, how about the case of Cheney, Liz Cheney?
Yeah.
Could anybody be a more loathsome representative than Liz Cheney? The answer is yes. There could be more loathsome representatives than Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney, who upheld her father's every action, defended the torture, defended the terror that he sponsored, defended the wars that he started on lies, defended all of that. She's too left-wing for these current crop of Republicans.
Because she upheld the Constitution.
Yeah.
And they don't like the Constitution or the interpretations of the Constitution. They don't want to have rules. They just want to have raw power and strength. And so you get a guy like Matt Gaetz, who's another one that shouldn't be in Congress, who stands for nothing more than his own personal ambition, goes out to Wyoming and attacks a leader of his party. Remember Ronald Reagan had the 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak bad about a fellow Republican? Ronald Reagan has been left in the dust. Reaganism is gone.
Yeah, but so is that party. This party is splitting.
Yeah, it is. And the scary part is, and I heard a reporter on radio this week as I was coming home, who went out to Wyoming with Matt Gaetz to be where he was, and to listen to the people he was speaking to, and then conducted sort of an informal survey of her own going around the state. And these folks out there are in an alternate universe. They don't believe that COVID was real. They don't wear masks. They don't want to stand up for Liz Cheney. They're all for Trump and Gatesism and whatever it is. All the passion is there. I would have had a hard time believing that you could beat Liz Cheney in a congressional primary. But now, if they find somebody, I think if they find a dead horse and label the horse as pro-Trump, that the horse might beat her in a race out there. We'll have to see. You know, there's 2 years to go before see where those passions are. But it is crazy. You know, the Republicans in Ohio, which used to be a very traditional Republican state, they want to have a special Trump holiday for the state. You know, like, remember we used to have Lincoln's birthday and Washington's birthday, or down south they had Robert E. Lee's or Jefferson Davis's birthday is honored. Ohio wants to have a public holiday honoring Donald Trump.
No, not Ohio, just these right-wing Republicans.
Republicans, yeah, but they're going to be running the state, possibly. We'll see.
Well, look at our situation in Pennsylvania. The same mentality pervades in the Pennsylvania Republican Party. That mentality controls the state Senate and the state House of Representatives, right?
Yeah.
It's not getting better. Yeah. It's getting worse.
It's getting worse. There's going to be a little bit of a bloodbath after the census comes out. Now, let me just talk about that for a moment. The incompetence of the Trump administration was that they weren't able to finish certifying the census and to exclude immigrants before they left office. But there is a case up in Congress about this, in the Supreme Court about this. And I heard this week the Supreme Court is going to issue some rulings on Wednesday of this coming week. I don't know whether it's due to the snowstorm on Monday, because that's when they usually issue orders. But I don't know if the census case is going to be one of them. But the Biden people should be in there withdrawing the federal government's request. They should get ahead of the Supreme Court on that and saying that we no longer want the court to make a decision on this. Whether the court would let them withdraw is another matter, but they should be doing that. What's going to happen with the census is Pennsylvania is going to lose a congressman, most likely, because the state's population is stagnant. And that's going to send a cascading effect. We don't know who it's going to be. There's rumors this weekend that it might be Dan Mueser, who's in the race who's in the district that abuts Matt Cartwright's. Mueser's from Luzerne County. He's got part of Luzerne County, and then he goes into central Pennsylvania, south central Pennsylvania. Rumor is that Muser might accept that and just run for governor, or maybe he won't accept it and run against Matt Cartwright if their districts overlap. We don't know. All of those things could be happening coming up, so we could see the effects of things in Pennsylvania.
Well, there's even a bigger effect in Pennsylvania, because the state legislature is now being prodded by the Republican Party to change the way the judiciary, the state judiciary, is elected, right?
Right. And they want to have the appellate courts elected by a district, which would give all these rural counties the same sway that they have in the legislature.
Where you have a quarter of the population dominating the legislature.
Yeah. You know, in the Senate, it's a 50-50 split in the U.S. Senate, but the Democrats represent 41 million more people than the Republicans do.
In the federal Senate, yeah.
In the federal Senate. Now, the states are going to be different because you have the one man, one vote, but still they'll have more people there. In the currently, there are 31 appellate judges, 15 in the Superior Court, 9 in the Commonwealth Court, and 7 on the Supreme Court. And everybody gets to vote for each one of these judges. I get to vote, you get to vote for 31 different judges who you want to sit on your court. And they have to apply to state law. Under the new scheme, you and I and everybody else will only get to vote for 3 judges. And everybody else gets to vote for all the others. So we could have cases settled by judges we have never had the opportunity to select. That's how radical or reactionary this movement is.
And you know, and what they got their sights trained on is things like the 2017 ruling in the environment, which held that the environment is a trust, right, that is managed by all levels of government for the benefit of the people, and that trust may not be disturbed. And that is a ruling that the extractive industries, the oil and gas industry especially, absolutely hates. And right, that only came about because the court was elected by the whole state. Once the court is elected on a district basis, that understanding of the Pennsylvania Constitution goes out the window.
Right. Right. So you have that, and then you have the way that the gerrymander of the legislative districts is going to be changed by the Supreme Court.
Right.
It's a little arcane as to how that's done. I don't want to get into that right now. But again, this goes back to the Koch brothers. We don't want the majority to rule.
Right.
We want to change the rules so that we can basically rape the country for our benefit, our financial benefit.
Because if the majority votes, the majority will not vote our way. They will understand that their interests and our interests are opposed.
Right.
They say that openly. That's not, right, you know, this is not subterranean.
No, it used to be, but it is no longer.
No.
Just like the racism is no longer subterranean.
Right.
And of course, that kind of rule breaking takes us into what's been happening with the GameStop and Wall Street, and what's the breakdown of the old order. As you know, it used to be you had the purpose of corporations was to be able to finance business and to in order to provide a product or services that would hopefully get you a profit and the shareholders a profit, the people who'd invested a profit. And the way that they raised their capital was through securities, either through bonds or stock. Equities or
stock debt if you own the company, bonds if you're lending money to the company.
Right, debt or equity. And then along somewhere around the late 70s and 80s, you had this Milton Friedman idea took hold that only the shareholders' interest mattered, and you started seeing a separation. In other words, the employees didn't matter, the customers didn't matter, the secondary effects on the environment, things didn't matter, just pure profits mattered. And then you started getting a separation of the financial industry from the rest of the of industry. Instead of just being there to help grease the workings of business, they became a business unto themselves, a prime business unto themselves.
But that's not an anomaly. That's not anything other than the inevitable consequence of saying that profit is the only thing that matters. If profit is the only thing that matters, then the finance arm is the main thing that matters. They're the ones that dominate. And whatever is their rule dominates. Whatever is good for them dominates. And so it's the if once the finance was the horse pulling the cart, now they're the cart controlling the horse.
Right. And they and we saw the effects of that. You saw businesses only run for short term and firing people or doing things that weren't in the best interest, long-term interest of the business. For instance, if we had a show that we made 3 more cents on the quarter, we're not going to buy at a discount certain supplies that we were going to need anyway. We would defer that into the next quarter. But the price may go up in the next quarter, but we don't care because in the current quarter, we can show that we didn't spend that money so we could show a greater profit.
Yeah, things next like quarter, we'll worry next quarter about next quarter.
Right. Again, no long term, but the business of America is long term. Government is long term. We live in the long term, not just the short term.
Life is long term. That's right. That's the point.
That's it. Well, the long term, somebody said we're all dead, but in the meantime, you have lots to live for. So we saw that. And now what we've seen in the last week or two is where the financial rule, the financial sector has been turned upside down by a whole set of new rules. You know, there used to be this legal manipulation by the hedge funds and others, the short sellers, where they could drive the price of a stock down just and potentially even put it out of business, even though it didn't necessarily have to go out of business just for their short-term profits. Well, now the profiteers got hit by other manipulators, these 20-something kids who, because it doesn't cost them anything to trade stock, got on Reddit and this new platform, Robinhood, and started squeezing the short sellers and the hedge funds. And we don't know where this is going to end up. We know it's going to end up badly because we have these phenomena out there where the rules allowed people to sell more than 100% of the stocks. And we have the rule of the greater fool, where the last person in gets holding the bag when this artificial inflation of price breaks down. But in between, we're in a territory that's been uncharted. And you have strange bedfellows like Ted Cruz and AOC coming together.
Elizabeth Warren. Well, to her credit, AOC said she didn't want to be together with Ted Cruz because he was trying to kill her.
Right. And we'll have to see.
But what she should have said was that what was she sticking her nose into this issue at all? How is it in the interest of working people to worry about who can short or long on stock? It's not.
Well,
has nothing to do with their what they should be concerned about.
But what they should be concerned about is the breakdown of rules and manipulation.
They should be concerned about getting a proper wage out of the corporations. That's what they should be concerned about.
Right, which, of course, profiteering doesn't allow.
It doesn't allow, exactly.
But we'll see whether better regulation comes out. You know, this is just a teed up for Elizabeth Warren to tax the wealth or to break down this hedge fund's preferred tax benefit, where they call it carried interest instead of just pure short-term profit. And they pay less money in taxes, which means that everybody else has to pay more.
Well, we're out of time this week.
Oh, yeah.
We broke down the time. Meanwhile, the Republicans continue to break down society. We'll see what happens next week and talk about it next week. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City. 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.